Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, I just pray that as I share this message this day, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they will be acceptable to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Had several of you ask after my trip to Ireland this last summer, are you ever going to share anything? Was there any illustration that would be a part of your sermon? And, you know, there's wonderful things to see in Ireland, and it was great, but I do want to talk about it today, but not about Ireland. I want to talk to you as we begin my message today about overseas travel that experience I had, and many of you who travel overseas. And I know there are many people who have many different opinions about how do you minimize the effect of jet lag. There are certain things you should do, certain things you shouldn't do. And the one that I really buy into is no matter where you are, wherever you land, once you land there, even though you're tired from an overseas restless night of sleep, you begin your day on the time that they are in where you land. No matter how tired you are, you just keep going. And then you go to sleep when it's nighttime where you are. And I think that helps. So I was traveling with another pastor friend of mine, Gene, and we landed at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning in Ireland, and we had signed up for a tour that would start Sunday, but we arrived Saturday because she has cousins in Dublin, so we thought that's a good way to keep us up moving that day is to visit with her cousins. So that's what we did. Landed 7 a.m., spent the day with her cousins, touring, walking all around Dublin. It got to be about 6 o'clock at night in Dublin. We figured we were tired, and it's about time to go to bed. And so I was sleeping soundly, and then all of a sudden I woke up, and I thought, Jean's up getting ready. So I woke up, and I said, is it time to get up? And she said, yes. She said, we're going to have breakfast with my cousins before our tour begins tonight. And I thought, oh, my gosh, well, I guess I better get up and get moving. But the longer we were moving and we were thinking, we said, well, what time do we need to be at the desk for a tour? Well, I called the desk. They said 6 o'clock. I said, okay. And they said 6 o'clock on Sunday. Said, okay. And I said, I'll see you in just a few hours. No, ma'am. 6 o'clock on Sunday. I said, well, today's Sunday. No, ma'am. It's Saturday. It's Saturday. You're 6 o'clock on Sunday. And we went back and forth. I hung up and thought, she is so confused. So, told the story to Gene, and we talked it through. You know, our whole day Saturday is over. We landed at 7 a.m. We spent a full day in Dublin. We've had a full night of sleep, and so now it's Sunday. Saturday is over, and it's Sunday. Still couldn't get it. I called the desk again. I know they probably thought I was crazy, but I said, you know, my clock says 10 o'clock. I don't want to talk about what day of the week it is. Can you tell me, is it a.m. or p.m.? Ma'am, it's p.m. So we were trying so hard to get into Sunday. We were forcing everything we could to get into that Sunday, but it wasn't there yet. And what we needed to do is we needed to experience that natural flow of as the schedule and the time was unfolding, and we failed to. We were just forcing. You know, we had to make this happen. We had to make this be Sunday. And so I launch our conversation today about worship and Sunday. How often do we arrive on Sunday that we force it to be here? We force it to be in worship this 1 hour. We got 1 hour to worship, and we force it. Because what I'm going to say about today is that that's not what worship really is about. Worship's not just this 1 hour on a Sunday morning that you go to church. And I'm going to say that again. Worship is not just this 1 hour that we go to church. If that were the case, then we would worship out of our week. We have a week of 168 hours. That means that 1 hour out of every week, every 160 hours a week, 1 hour we would worship God. And then if I just move that to a bigger picture, if we worshiped every single Sunday of a year, 52 weeks out of the year, we would have in a year 8,736 hours, and I did the math and I double-checked it so I know I'm right. Let me tell you, only 52 of those hours, 52 out of 8,736 hours would we spend worshiping God. And then I wonder, what would God have to say to that? And then I think about the prophet, Malachi. How in chapter 3, verse 8, he reads like this. The Lord says, Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And the Lord replies, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Now, most often, the reflection of this particular scripture is about giving. It's about tithing. And biblically, we understand that a tithe is 10% of our income. And so typically, that's what we use the scripture to talk about. But I think in here also, it says in tithes and offerings, I think that there are more offerings in our lives than just the financials that we give. I believe that what God wants, and AJ referred to this, he wants our hearts. He wants everything about our lives. Our entire lives are intended to be that offering. So when you leave here today, what I want you to understand is that worship is not just 1 hour on Sunday. But worship is 24/7. Worship is what you do in and what you do with your life. It's a way of life. It's your lifestyle. And it's not just this 1 hour on Sunday morning. It's more than singing. It's more than attending this worship service this morning. And I do think that the singing and the words are a wonderful part of this experience we have to so we encounter God in unique ways, but it's not all worship is. It's everything we do, everything we think, all the time. And I think the writer in Deuteronomy chapter 6 said it clearly. You know what? You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. It's all of it. And then I think that the Apostle Paul took this, in his words to Corinthians, to another step to explain it to us. Listen carefully. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all. Worship is 24/7. For centuries before the time of Jesus, the Jews and the Pharisees, they understood. They had these very rigid rules. There were these right sacrifices that had to be made at these right times and these right places, and you weren't to deviate from it at all. And that's the way they lived, and that's the way they practiced it, and that's the way they understood worship. Maybe you remember the woman at the well. Story of the woman at the well. It's the woman that Jesus was trying to tell her all about what living water was. And then Jesus reflected back to her what he understood about what her life had been and what it had been like and all the sinful choices that she had made in her life. But honestly, that wasn't his focus to be judgmental. His focus was indeed to point those out so that she would change, that her heart would change. But do you remember what she did? She changed the subject. She said to Jesus, "What about this worship thing? Where do you think we should worship? My people, we worship over here. But your people say we should worship in Jerusalem. What do you think?" And Jesus answered that there was a time that was coming when people would be able to worship wherever they wanted, however they wanted, as long as they worshiped in spirit and in truth. Jesus, as he so often did, was upsetting all the normal again. Because he was saying that, yeah, the Pharisees and all, they had all these rigid practices about worship. No, Jesus says, you know what? Worship's going to be 24/7. It's about everything that you are and everything that you do. So what does that look like? Let's imagine you were, maybe you work downtown, driving down Meridian or trying to get out of Carmel out of all this traffic jam. But maybe you're driving to work, and maybe you started out a little late, and maybe the meeting is coming a little bit too fast. And you're in your car, and there's this driver in front of you that's maybe driving you just a little bit crazy. Worship, 24/7. So what's that moment like in your car? Where are your thoughts? And what do you say in that moment? I believe what Jesus says to us is, that moment is a time for worship. That moment is worship. So what are you thinking and what are you doing that's worshipful in that moment? Are you thinking and praying as if it is a time of worship? What if your life fell apart this week? What if it just crumbled? All kinds of things fell apart. Worship is 24/7. Where was your heart, your thinking, and what did you do in the midst of that time? And God would say to us, Jesus said to us, you know what? It's a time of worship, 24/7. One of the greatest problems we have today with worship is the same problem that humans have had throughout the centuries. We as humans have a tendency to make worship mechanical. We think we need a certain type of building. We think we need a certain order of service. We think the worship songs we sing should be a certain style, or they should be a certain tempo. And I know Ray last hour said to me, sometimes they're too soft. There you go. They may be too soft, too loud, too fast, too slow. We think that in order to encounter God, we must approach Him at a certain time, certain place, and a certain day. But God's not limited by those concepts of worship. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, 24/7. There was a lamp that was in the temple that was on the altar, and that light was never to go out because it was a visual reminder of God's constant presence with us. A God who's continually with us and continually wants us to worship Him and to connect with that presence. That's why we have eternal lights in many of our sanctuary. It's to be a visual reminder of God's presence that calls us to respond 24/7. So today, let's take a look at worship, and from three perspectives. I'd like to look at it, worship as an outward and an inward and an upward means. Imagine this. It's kind of to try to help us understand this. Let's say you've got this boss, and you say to your boss, you're the greatest boss I've ever had. This is the best job I've ever had or I ever will have. In fact, I worship at your feet that I absolutely have an opportunity to work with and for you every day. Now, having said that to your boss, that's saying something upwardly to your boss. Now, how should you behave then when no one is looking? If you really meant it, what you said to the boss, you will talk well of your boss when the person's not in the room. You will work enthusiastically and hard for that boss, even though that person is not watching over you. Why? Because inwardly, you really do love your boss so much that you want to please that person. Let's take it a step further. Imagine that your work is service-oriented. Every time you cheerfully seek someone, every time you go out of your way to meet someone's needs, you're honoring outwardly your employer and saying by your actions how much you appreciate working for that person. In the same way, God is honored when we worship, not only by what we say to Him, but how much we love Him on the inside and how we respond to those He died for. A picture of real worship, three-dimensional worship. First of all, let's take a look at the inward. Inward worship refers to who I am when no one is looking. So, it's like who I am. It's easy to come to church on the morning. We're all together and say all the right things and look really good and have all that happening. But what really is about inward direction of worship is when that's really the test of our worship. What is the place of our heart? Is it clean? Are we living a clean lifestyle? In our homes, when we're browsing the internet, when we're glancing through a magazine on a newsstand, are we careful that we're pleasing to God with our thoughts? Because worshiping God is 24/7, every moment of our lives. There was a study done by a professor at Northwestern University, and she studied Olympic medalists, and she discovered that bronze medalists were happier than silver medalists. And here's why. She found that silver medalists tend to focus on how close they had come to getting the gold, so they weren't satisfied with the silver. Bronze medalists tend to focus on how close they came to not winning a medal at all, so they were just happy to be on the stand at all. And I think this says something interesting to us about human nature. Your focus determines your reality. How we feel isn't determined by objective circumstances. If that was the case, the silver medalists would be happier than the bronze medalists because they had objectively better results. How we feel is determined by our subjective focus. In other words, our internal attitudes are more important than our external circumstances. And so therefore, the reason for internally, if we make a decision, if we make a commitment to worship God in every moment of every day, we reframe everything, we reorient our entire lives when we worship God 24/7. And we want to call that responsibility. We have the ability to determine how we're going to respond. Paul and Silas were in prison, and their bodies were chained. But you can't chain the human spirit. And they worshiped God. They worshiped God in the midst of that circumstance that they were in. That's inward worship. We can choose to connect and to worship with God. Let's look at outward worship now. What does that look like? And outward worship and the expression of that can take on so many different forms. I'd like to just kind of, I chose three categories and three examples for us to look at today. And the first one is this. When we share our faith with someone or in some way play a part in their coming to Christ, that's outward worship. I'd like to share with you an example just last Sunday of that. Just last Sunday, Baptism Sunday, after this service and after 11 o'clock service, we had our pool outside and we immersed many persons in baptism, and many persons took the opportunity to reaffirm their baptismal vows. It was a glorious day. And it was after the 11 o'clock service, and kind of thought we were kind of beginning to wind down a little bit, and Megan, one of our youth, came and had said something to AJ, and AJ brought her to me. She was asking to be baptized. How did she get there? Megan didn't necessarily have a church home at that point this last summer when she came through one of our summer camps, and that summer camp was for Girl Scout badges. Leading that camp was one of our members, Chris Adams, working along with AJ. And they did all the work that they needed to do as a badge, but a part of that was also some instructional Christian teachings. And Chris and AJ shared those, and Megan was a part of that, so she was a recipient of all that was being shared that day. I think that Megan must have just left that day just having paid attention and just let it soak. And so she arrived on Sunday, heard the message being preached on Sunday, and asked to be baptized. The connection was made for her. So on that day, she was immersed joyfully. And then her parents came up to me and said, you know, we were Baptist, and so we were dedicated as babies. We've never been baptized. Can we be baptized this day also? And we baptized them also. Family of three was baptized because Chris Adams, who took the time to share about her faith in the midst of running a camp for girls on Girl Scout badge, touched this little girl's life. And AJ said there must have been several texts between she and Chris throughout the day. All Chris kept saying was, this was the best day of my life. I am so excited. That was her outward worship as she led a little girl to Christ. In Romans 15:16, Paul says, God gave him the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. What a privilege it is to be a part of that offering. What a privilege it is to be one who helps someone to become transformed and just to really begin an amazing journey of faith. That's one way of outward worship. Another way of outward worship, we often talk about how we may help others, how we may serve others. I think this church is extremely so a missional church, and we talk a lot about how we serve others. So when I was thinking about this, I thought of One of the ways we can do that, and here's the one I thought of. Old-fashioned neighborly help. I think it's hard to find in many ways these days. I was reminded of that this week as I had a new neighbor earlier this week. And I had heard that it's just maybe one person who had signed the papers and that she was Chinese. And so I went over 2 days ago to take a mum tour to introduce myself to her. And just to see her face light up. And how she responded, and she said, oh, and I told her about the neighborhood who's here. She said, oh, when I get settled a little bit, can I go outside with you, and will you introduce me to the other neighbors? Just an old-fashioned neighborly way. But in today's world, how often are we even missing that as an opportunity, as a time of worship? How often are we forgetting? We're putting up all these privacy fences so we don't see our neighbors, and we're not so free to offer or lend a hand because we don't want to just get into their business, and we don't even take time to maybe even notice that maybe there's something going on that maybe they could use some help. And then we fill up our schedules so full that we're just too busy to even notice that we have a neighbor who may need help. As followers of Jesus, if every hour of every day, of every week, if we're looking for opportunities to worship in an outward kind of way, that's one of the ways that's just right outside our door that we can have an opportunity. Third way that we can outwardly worship is to giving financially to God. I can't ignore the words of the prophet Malachi when he says, you know, bring in the tithes and your offerings. Because giving, the time of giving, all that we give monetarily to God is an outward expression of what our heart is about. It's an outward expression of where our heart is. Who and what in our heart do we honor and do we set for as a priority in our lives? Going back to those words of Malachi, don't rob God. Just because you think you don't have the money now, don't rob God and just hold back from your generosity, because plain and simple, Malachi said that's robbing God. And when you rob God, you rob opportunities for ministry, you're robbing God from what is rightfully his, and you're robbing an opportunity for your heart to be focused and to be connected with God solely. So that's what outward worship can look like. What is upward worship? I think it's kind of simple for me. Upward worship is just saying who we truly and honestly worship as priority and the most important person, the most important anything in our lives. And I think sometimes we can get lost on this one a little bit on upward worship, because sometimes some other things can tend to step in and try to take that place before God. Sometimes our stuff, our possessions, sometimes our money, sometimes we may even worship other people. We can't forget who we worship. And that's where I want to get to scripture for today. Because I think that these verses in Hebrews tie up all of this together for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. Through Jesus. If you want to know who we worship, through Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came to this earth, who walked this earth, who lived a life, who died and was risen. That's who we worship, through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Let us continually. It doesn't say, on Sunday mornings, my friends, I want you to come to church and just praise me with all your heart. He says, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Continually. The fruit of lips that confess his faith. The fruit of lips tells me that if I'm living and I'm worshiping, and I'm confessing Jesus Christ is not my Lord and Savior, there will be fruit in my life. And that's what I can share outwardly. And that's my worship outwardly. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We need to praise. And we need to be thankful for the good things that we enjoy. We need to express our gratitude, and not just on one hour on a Sunday, and not only when circumstances are just really awesome, in and through all times, every moment of our life. It's essential that we be worshiping inward, outward, and upward. Three-dimensional worship is focusing on the fundamentals of our faith in God through Jesus Christ so that we can have all the strength and all the focus possible to connect and grow and serve. Do you hear those words of our vision statement? So that we are connecting and growing and serving as followers of Jesus Christ individually and as a body of Christ. George Barna is someone who does a lot of studies on Christian communities and Christians and non-Christians on various religious issues. I found this study on worship that for me was a little bit bothersome. Among regular church-going adults, one-third have said that they have never experienced God's presence. One-half of all regular church members claimed that they have not experienced God in a worship service in the past year. For me, when I read that, my first thoughts about that, being leadership of this church, was, oh my gosh, what's going on with the leadership? What if this speaks about us? What is it that we, as leaders of worship, that we need to be doing differently? But then I stopped and thought about it. It wasn't just simply about the leadership. It's not just the leadership that's dropping the ball. It's all of us. We are commanded to worship God continually and to offer Him sacrifice of praise. And we are called to worship Him 24 hours a day for all 7 days a week. And we have a duty and an obligation to worship God. And when we get lax about this, and when we're not experiencing this more throughout our week than just on that 1 hour, all of us are dropping the ball then. Because we have this eternal, everlasting, always ongoing presence who's with us 24/7. But do we make that intentional decision to connect and to worship 24/7? So I want to ask you this day, what about you? What about you? Maybe think about your week this last week, your 168 hours that you've already spent, perhaps. How much of that was really about worship? How much of it was, you can say, I know my inward, my heart was there. Is worshiping God through all the experiences I had? How many of those hours, 168 hours, did you look for opportunities for outward outreach? That you were looking for possibilities to touch someone's life, share your experience and your faith journey with someone, to reach out and just, if someone needed something, needed you to be there, how much of that 168 hours? And how many of that 168 hours were praising God, who has given to us everything, everything that we have? How many of those hours did we worship upward and remember that all comes from God? I hope that, as I said earlier, that when you leave today, you're not just looking for Sunday, trying to get that Sunday and trying to make that be your only worship experience. But what I hope is that you begin to understand and live your life as if worship is a continuum, because it's your all your life. It's not this one little segment that happens being a part of this continuum, but that worship is the continuum each and every day. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we praise you and thank you that you are the one that we say when we worship. You are the one that we worship. We thank you knowing that you are continually reaching out to us, just reaching into our hearts to inspire us, pleading with us to worship you. So this coming week, as each week we have these 168 hours, help all of us to think about you in the midst of every single hour. In the name of Jesus, amen.